Last week I was speaking with some friends of mine in my hometown, and they were telling me about this continuing feud that was going on between these two people that had been going on since high school. I mean, my goodness, that was a long time ago. And my comment was, why don't they just forgive and forget the whole mess? They just need to get over this. Now, that's easy for me to say. But with 30 plus years of pastoral experience, I've come to learn that forgiveness does not come easy to anyone. Not only is that true for us, it was true for the disciples as well. In Luke 17, Jesus confronts his disciples about how inevitable it is that people are going to sin. He says, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. The word that Jesus uses here for things, it signifies bait in a trap. Like bait in a trap lures its prey in. So there are things in the world that lure people in to sin, to entice people to sin. And according to Jesus, anyone who lures people into sin causes them then to be trapped. And Jesus goes on to say, woe to those people who lure others into sin. But what is quite interesting here is that the things that cause people to sin, though there are many things, what is interesting is that in this particular passage, the things that cause people to sin are specifically related to the unwillingness to forgive. Jesus goes on to say, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, then you are to forgive. With all the sins that Jesus could have chosen to emphasize the sin that traps people and lures people to sin, Jesus chooses to highlight the sin of unforgiveness. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that though there are many things that entice people to sin, what is especially heinous is the sin of unforgiveness, because it does not rest with you. It is like a cancer then that grows throughout a home, throughout a church, throughout a school. Now, what I want to ask you this morning is, are you being a trap to lead others into sin? Or are you seeking to forgive as the Lord has forgiven you? Because of the blinding nature of sin, we may think that we have forgiven someone. We might have even said, I forgive you. But do your actions actually show that? Or are your actions acting like bait that draws people and lures people into sin? How can we know if we are following the new self, as Paul tells us to do, the new self made to be like Christ, or are we acting like the old self? Well, try these guidelines on for size. After you have said you forgive someone, do you seek then to cause harm to that person? Well, that would be easy to see if you want to punch him in the nose. That's easy to see. But indirect harm is more subtle. And indirect harm is usually the way people go. Do I gossip and slander the person's name? Do I seek to hurt their name because in the past they hurt me? But what's the antidote to that? Paul tells us, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Verse 25, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. You see, forgiveness is not just telling someone, "Oh, I forgive you." But it is telling someone that you forgive them and then making a promise that you're not going to go out and badmouth them to other people. You're not going to slander them. That you have actually forgiven and now you're forgetting their sin against you. And you're not going to bring it up again to your family, to your neighbor, to your co-workers, or whoever it may be. Because you see, having a critical spirit against people, whether that's at home or your work or at church, a critical spirit is not the indication of humility and forgiveness. Instead, a critical spirit is an indication of pride. And it's interesting to note that Satan's main sin is the sin of pride. Scriptures call Satan the accuser. He has a critical spirit. He is constantly accusing you before Jesus Christ. What does Paul tell us in verse 27? Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. And it's interesting, in his letter, second letter to the Corinthians, Paul tells us what that foothold is. And he says, it is the unwillingness to forgive. If you refuse to come out of the rain, you know, you're going to get wet. If you refuse to forgive, it's because you're all wet spiritually. You are following the devil. You're giving the devil a foothold in your life to hurt your family, to hurt your church, to hurt your co-workers, fellow students. So what is the antidote? Once again, it is to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. You see, true forgiveness means that you're going to speak truthfully to the one that you have forgiven, and you're going to do so in order to build them up in Christ. True forgiveness means that you're going to look for the good in the person who has sinned against you. You're going to look for the good things, the admirable things. And you're going to focus on that. But if you have a critical spirit about you, you're going to focus on the negative things. And my friend, that is not of Christ. That is of the devil. Second thing, are your inward desires towards those whom you say that you have forgiven, are your inward desires such that you rejoice in their hardship? Someone sins against you. They come and ask for your forgiveness. And you say you forgive. But then something happens to them, and you say, oh yeah, they deserve that. Because they sinned against me, they deserve what has happened to them. He's getting what he deserves. Now, what should your attitude be when you say that you forgive someone and then something bad happens to that individual? Well, listen to Psalm 35. Listen to what the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, describes the working in the character of King David. Psalm 35, verse 13. David writes, when my enemies were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. When my prayers returned to me unanswered, I went about mourning as though for my friend or brother. I bowed my head as if weeping for my mother. When those sinned against David, when they became ill or had something bad happen to them, David responds by praying for them. He doesn't rejoice in their hardship. Instead, he prays for them. And that's the same way God treats you. When you have a difficult providence, God doesn't rejoice in that. The scriptures even say that God does not rejoice in the death of the wicked. He sends them to hell because he's a just God. But he does not rejoice in the punishment of the wicked. No, he does not treat you that way when you have a difficult providence. Instead, how does Jesus respond? He intercedes for you continuously. He prays for you continuously. But notice the attitude of the ungodly there in Psalm 35. But when I stumbled, David said, they gathered in glee. The people rejoiced over David's fall. Now, which two groups are displaying the character of Christ? Well, we know. How can anyone have a Christ-like attitude if they are rejoicing over the hardships of others? Though you said you forgive. Oh, and this is so true for Christians. Though you said you forgive, do you still brood over the situation? Do you find that you're easily distracted by the situation? Oh, when I think about it, I get so mad. That person did this to me. And then they came and asked me to forgive them, and I said I forgive them. But you know what? Sometimes I think about it, and I just get so mad. Well, if you're stewing in your anger, it's really you that are in hot water. For how can you say that you have forgiven if you're still hating the person who sinned against you? You know who broods? Scriptures say the wicked brood. Listen to Isaiah 57. The wicked are like the tossing of the seas, which cannot rest. In Job, when Satan appears before God, God asks him, where have you come from? And Satan answers by saying, from roaming through the earth, going back and forth in it. What is being communicated here is that because of his pride, because of his anger, all Satan does all the time is that he broods. He gets mad about Jesus Christ. And so then he begins to direct his anger against the church. That's why Peter calls him a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So are you like Christ? Or are you like Satan? Are you brooding? Or are you at peace? Are you so upset that you don't want to go to work? You don't want to come to church. You don't want to be around your family. You just don't want to be around the person that's hurt you. So you try to avoid that person. Well, if you find that that's happening to you, then, my friend, the problem is not with the person who sinned against you. The problem is with you. It's your pride. And it's making your whole world out of whack. You're focusing on yourself. You're so prideful that you can't think of anything else but what this person has done to you. If you're brooding over a situation, if you're not at rest, but you're pacing back and forth with anger, if you want to devour the one who has sinned against you, then I bet my bottom dollar that you have not forgiven that person, even though you said you did. So what is the antidote? Once again, put on the new person. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Paul writes and says, in your anger, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil a foothold. When you do not immediately seek reconciliation and forgiveness, then you are setting the stage for a train wreck. Let me say it again. When someone sins against you and you do not immediately seek their reconciliation, then you're setting the scene for a train wreck. You do as Jesus says to do. If your brother sins against you, go and show him your sin. You're not to wait on him to realize his sin. You're not to wait until tomorrow. You are not to let the sun go down on your anger. Because once you do, then you begin to brood. And your attitude is more like Satan than Christ. You were giving the devil a foothold because you're unwilling to forgive. You have to resist the temptation to brood. You have to resist the temptation to let the sun go down. If you have time to let the sun go down, you have time to do something about the problem. And once you have said, I forgive you, then you need to forget it. Listen to Christ speaking through the prophet Isaiah. I am he who blots out your transgressions and remembers your sins no more. God remembers our sins no more. You like it that way, don't you? Yes, you do. Well, you would do well to forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do you want the Lord to continually bring up your past sins, the sins that you have asked forgiveness for? Do you want the Lord to do that? No, you don't. So therefore, don't treat others that way. Think about this. Do I become angry when people who sinned against me, and I said that I forgive them, but do I become angry when they prosper? When they are praised and rewarded for something good that they have done? Do I get jealous over those who have sinned against me, even though I have said that I have forgiven them? A good example of this in scriptures, we have King Saul. David is in the service of King Saul. King Saul is the first king of Israel, and David is one of his mighty men. David is one of his mighty warriors. And there's been a little bit of friction there, but Saul has said to David, reaffirmed to David, Saul's trust in David. But then something happens. Saul hears David being praised by the people. They sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And the scriptures say, from that point on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Jealousy will always keep a relationship from being healed. Jealousy will always give the devil a foothold in your relationships. Be like the Lord. Forgive. Forget, don't hold it against them. When they are praised for something that they do, you praise them. Thank God that they did something good. Don't be jealous over them. And lastly, do you become angry at a small or trivial matters that this person that you said you forgive, something that they do or say? In other words, do you have a quick temper towards this person because they hurt you in the past? Do you have a quick temper in dealing with this person who has hurt you in the past? If you have a quick temper, the antidote and the problem is that you lack love. The scriptures say love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not easily angered. Without love, forgiveness is impossible. In closing, the antidote to an unforgiving spirit, the antidote to not letting Satan put a foothold in your relationships is to put on Christ. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. When God forgave you, He does not seek to harm you for your past sins. He does not rejoice in your hardship, but rather He seeks to bring times of peace and comfort. He does not continue to bring up your sins, but He remembers your sins no more. God does not treat you as your sins deserve. God lets the love of Christ cover a multitude of your sins, and so should you as well. The disciples, when Jesus says to forgive 7 times, in one day, the disciples said, increase our faith. We got to have a super faith, be super spiritual in order to do this. Jesus reminded them that you don't need a great faith to forgive those who have sinned against you. All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. You don't need a great faith. All you need is a true faith in a great Savior. Because as you consider what you have done to Christ, and as you consider how He has forgiven you, then it becomes a small matter for you to forgive others. You know, you have actually injured yourself more by not forgiving than anyone could injure you by sinning against you. Nobody hurts me more than I hurt myself. And if I do not forgive, then I inflict injury upon myself. Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Keep before you the mandate to be like Christ. Be imitators of God and forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Let's pray.